Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Anthony Johnson, and welcome to this edition of the Anthony Johnson Show. It's good to be back, and as always, I'm thankful for the support that you've given this show. I can't thank you enough, and I hope you continue to support the show. What I always try to do with this show, ladies and gentlemen, is always bring truth. No matter how difficult it may be for some, no matter how that it may hurt, I have a belief system that sometimes the truth does hurt, but it's still the truth. And I think that you always want. I think the true essence of a friend, of someone who really cares about you, is telling you the truth. And there are times when you have to tell those individuals that you care about. You have to tell them the hard truths, and sometimes that's very difficult for individuals to accept. But the hope is that, when they kind of take a step, when they basically take a step back, from what's being said, that they can put it in context and understand that you're coming from a place of love and compassion, not to be mean and spiteful and petty. So the goal is always to tell the truth. My goal has always been to bring truth. And, this evening's episode, it's about truth. It's about what is true and what is, an individual's truth. In this day and age that we're living in, ladies and gentlemen, people take their opinion as a fact. And I don't know where we went wrong with that. A lot of people will say the media did that. But, my view is that you can't blame the media, because it's like, what's happening in your home? To me, it's like you were never taught the difference between a truth and an opinion. An opinion is basically, that's what it is. You're giving your opinion on something. Could be woefully wrong, woefully incorrect, but that's your opinion. But you cannot paintbrush life with opinions, because ultimately you're going to come across people who are going to tell you the truth, and that's very difficult to understand. And we should not, our heroes shouldn't be the media. Our heroes shouldn't be celebrities, because they, there are a lot of individuals who know what they're saying is incorrect, but they're saying to you and I, the general public, that we're not intelligent enough to go and find the truth, because 99 out of 100, the truth is right there. It's just a matter of taking an opportunity to read up on it. So they will spin the truth and give their opinion and pawn it off as truth. And then what happens is society, the general public, starts regurgitating that same foolishness. We see that with a president, that is currently at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, that this guy, honestly, I don't think he's ever been truthful in his whole life. And quite possibly, he just hasn't had to, because no one has held him accountable. No one has ever said that's incorrect. See, everybody needs that one friend, that one family member in their lives to tell you when you're wrong, to say that is incorrect. Now, I know you've gone through life thinking that what you've been saying means something. It doesn't. Because that's all it takes is one. It only takes one. So I was going to talk up to this evening's show about a racist president who was deciding to open up his reelection campaign on Juneteenth, the observance of the end of slavery in the United States, in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Tulsa, a city that experienced one of the country's worst episodes of racial violence in U.S. history. That was the destruction of Black Wall Street. And we've heard all types of so-called truths about what happened. that some of the black entrepreneurs in Tulsa in the black community got too uppity and started disrespecting the white folk in that outside their community. No, it started with a lie, and that lie dissipated. And the narrative of the latter, which I said that, oh, it was a bunch of black people that decided to shoot in the towns of the white people in those communities, and they decided to rise up against their oppressor, i.e. the black people, and went on a murderous rampage. We have to stop going on in life thinking that our opinions mean anything. Yeah, people will say to you, hey, Anthony, what's your opinion on this? And I'll give my opinion. Or I always like to say, do you want my opinion or do you want the truth? So if you want the truth, then I'll tell you the truth. If you want my opinion, I'll give you an opinion. There are many times that the opinions do not jive the truth. And therein lies that great dichotomy. But instead, tonight, I'm going to shift gears and talk about the police in the United States. The police continued abuse of power and lack of basic rudimentary decision making. So we know what's going on in Atlanta because a police officer murdered a black man who was either A, sleeping in his car at a Wendy's, or was inebriated. And it escalated fast. Once again, some people said that, the police originally said that it got into a struggle with the taser. The individual took the taser and tried to turn it on the police officer, so the police officer decided to shoot and ultimately ended up killing Mr. Rayshard Brooks. This is discouraging because we just not a couple of weeks ago had a same incident in which a police officer murdered another black man. And here we are again. And of course, Atlanta, the protesting has at times gotten violent. The place, the site where the murder happened at a Wendy's, was set on fire by protesters. And violence is occurring yet again. Here's my concern, ladies and gentlemen. And I was talking to a friend of mine, a very intelligent woman, compassionate, loving, law-abiding citizen. When do the law-abiding citizen start saying enough is enough? Because that's where we are now. That's where we are. What do we tell our young men and women in this country of color? What do we tell our young African-American, our young Latinos, our young Asians, our young Native Americans? What do we tell them? We tell them to obey the law. Go to school, get a good education. And if you do those things, you will never, ever, ever in your life have an issue with police. You'll never have an issue with it because you are one of the good people. You are one of the good guys. And yet here we are, people dying, dying, and dying at the hands of the police. Now, we talk about opinion and we're talking about truth. And here we are once again with truth. Here's what people say and point it off as truth. They say, Anthony, the majority of police officers are good. There's only a few bad apples in the police force that are bad. And they use that, they point that as truth. Well, that's not true. So I'm here this evening to say, let's stop saying that. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there who never had an issue with the law, and I'm talking about some white people. I ain't talking about all white people because There have been white people who've been shot down and murdered and things of that magnitude at the hands of the police. But I'm saying there is a large population of white people in this country that don't see anything wrong that the police does. So those innocent young men and women of color that we're telling to fly right, do right, respect the law, if they're walking down the street minding their business or they're peacefully protesting, they could lose their lives because of overzealous, ignorant, racist, idiotic individual who puts on that law enforcement, that police uniform that's supposed to represent courage and integrity, basic human common decency, goes and kills that young man and woman of color. Those same people will say, well, they must have did something in which the cop had to kill them. So no matter what a police officer does, they will always find a refuge with a large section of this country that says police are infallible. They are infallible. They do no wrong. If Anthony Johnson, a law-abiding citizen, got beat up by cops or shot by cops or had a gun pulled out on him by a cop when he was 12 years old, Anthony must have done something. Well, he's walking with his three other friends on Roosevelt Boulevard on a rainy night. Well, see, there it is. He should not, and his three friends shouldn't have been outside on a rainy night on Roosevelt Boulevard. This is what people will say. And then pawn it off as fact. That's an opinion. It's a misguided, idiotic opinion, but it is your opinion. The majority of the police are not good police. Try this on for a fact. Try this on. If the majority of the people are in the police force are good, then why is there so much rampant police corruption? Now, this is not Anthony Johnson's opinion. This is Anthony Johnson's research. This is Anthony Johnson's research and conversations and interviews with FBI, CIA, NSA, all these different agencies who have said, here's the information, Anthony. There is widespread corruption in these police forces around the country. So you can't say that the majority of the police officers in the United States are good. You know, the talking point. And as a police officer, if I was a police officer, I'd be downright upset when you say, oh, 99 out of 100% police are good. No, they're not. No, actually, they're not. Those numbers make no sense at all. Try 50-50. Because if the majority of the police were good, we wouldn't have such widespread police corruption. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm not just talking about black bodies being murdered by police. I'm talking about white people being abused by police. I'm talking about Native Americans. I'm talking about Asians. I'm talking about Latinos. See, people always talk about black people being murdered by police. That's one piece of the pie. The other big pieces of the pie also is how we are constantly infringed on our basic rights by police, driving while black, walking while black. And we're not talking about Becky and all these Karens and all. We're talking about police officers. Because all somebody has to do is say, I saw two black guys walking down the street at midnight, and I'm in fear of my life. Those cops are going to come running. Now, if you say that what, say, white kids, white young men walking down the street, they don't give a damn. But they are damn sure going to investigate why we're walking down this block at 12 a.m. minding our business. We could be coming home from work. Hey, I work a late night shift. Doesn't matter. We're going to get stopped. And to those African Americans out there who consistently talk about, oh, we need to stop complaining about everything, they don't see racism. Racism is gone. Maybe it hasn't happened to you enough. So when I hear the Lil Wayne's and the Morgan Freeman talk about, you know, racism is not as bad as people make it out to be, because it hasn't happened to them. Let them walk a mile in somebody's shoes. And I think it's stupid for them to say things like that. I think it's stupid for anybody. But if I got to drop names on famous black people who do it, Fine. I mean, if you're going to put yourself, if you're going to jump in that fray, then you got to understand that you're going to get hit. So it's not just black people and people of color in this country that have to deal with being murdered by police, but we also have to deal with everything else. I mean, just a few years ago, stop and frisk in New York City was ridiculous. The horror story of one young man that said every time he came out of his house, every day, 7 days a week, he would get stopped and frisked by police. And he said sometimes those same police would do it, and they know that he lived there. They know what he did because he said, yeah, this is why we're going to, they still would do it. All the while, they would let the white people walk right by him 9 out of 10 times. White people would have drugs on them. They would have illegal firearms on them. But they didn't have to worry because they knew they were not going to get stopped. Finally, the Supreme Court said, particularly in New York, Supreme Court said, this got to stop. I mean, you're stopping black people 2,400% of the time than any other group, and you know, including the Latino population, the Asian community, the Native Americans, and hardly never you guys are stopping white people. This has to stop. So we have a racism problem in this country. We have structural racism in this country, and it continues to go on and on and on and on. So let's stop that. As my son would say when I would try to speak Spanish to him when he was a baby, 3, 4 years old, and of course I'm butchering that beautiful language, then I would start making up my own words. He would say, you know, he would say, Dad, that's silly Spanish. He wasn't old enough to say, Dad, that makes no sense. That's not even Spanish. I don't even know what language that is. Matter of fact, Pop, it's not even a language. When I hear people say that the majority of the police officers are good, that's silly talk. Because if they were, we wouldn't have widespread racism, structural racism in the police force. The majority of those police officers would say, enough. This is a job. This is not a job for me. This is a lifelong dream, and I'm living it, and I am not going to have you few bad apples, as the majority of Americans like to say, these few bad apples ruining it for everybody. They're not ruining it, those two bad apples. There's a whole lot of bad apples, a whole lot. And if the police aren't going to speak out, then they're no better than the individuals in the black neighborhoods and Latino neighborhoods who, and Native American neighborhoods and the Asian neighborhoods who say, you know, police say, well, y'all guys have to see something. It's okay to snitch. Tell us who the criminals are and we can take them home. You're exacerbating this crime, the crimes, because you're not speaking out. Tell you what, when police officers start doing that on other police officers, maybe those communities I just named, maybe they'll start talking. Maybe they'll start snitching and saying, you know what, yeah, it is that guy right there. He did the shooting. He did the murders. He did the robbery. But how are you going to tell somebody to do something when you don't do something? How are you going to tell somebody to clean their house when your house is a pigsty? You cannot do it. We're talking about, in this country, defunding the police, defunding them. What is that? Defund them? What are you, a 501c3 organization? No, you don't defund it. The police system in America is a virus. It's been infected. It's been infected by a lot of corrupt police officers, a lot of police captains and lieutenants and whoever else. What do you normally do when you have a virus? What do you do when you get sick, when you have the flu? You go to the doctor and the doctor writes you a prescription. Says, take these antibiotics. Go home and rest. Those antibiotics will work and will kill off that infection. And then you can go on about your merry way. You must dismantle the structural racism of police and start anew. Because they're funding an organization that's been structurally racist since 1852, which is 168 years. Defunding it doesn't mean a thing because those same corrupt, murderous, stomping on my basic human rights. Police officers are still there. You must begin to remove them. They're not worthy to wear those uniforms. You see, if there were a whole lot of good cops in America, they would say, you, sir, you, ma'am, are not worthy of wearing that uniform. Instead, they say nothing. So even the good cops who are actually go out and do their job, they're still complicit in knowing that a lot of cops out there are engaging in nefarious acts, and they say nothing. They say nothing. Because all they want to do is do their shift and go home to their families. Wrong job, ladies and gentlemen, wrong job. Because while you're going home to the safety confines of your home, to your loving family, somebody is going to be burying their son or their daughter or their husband or their wife or their grandmother or grandfather or aunt, a cousin, a niece, because this corrupt cop decided to shoot instead of thinking. Police reform can no longer wait. We can no longer wait. It can't be, well, let's have a discussion, let's sit at the table, and with the, either you make these changes or the people are going to get tired and it's going to be issues. How much longer can you tell the law-abiding citizen to, listen, just don't do anything, don't be upset, just saying we shall overcome and we shall overcome? No, that's not going to work. I ain't talking about the criminal element. Criminal element, love it. They say, Anthony, we love it. Because all these dirty, corrupt cops, they getting all the headlines so we can go on and commit our crimes. They're sending a personal thank you to all those criminal police officers out there. Those police officers who are willing to pull out their gun, shoot first, and then ask questions later. I know police officers who served valiantly for 30 plus years. And you know what they said to me? They said, Anthony, all those years I never fired my gun. Isn't that something? They never fired their gun. But now you have these guys, these police, these ill-equipped, ill-trained, angry, psychologically inept individuals that you gave them a gun and a badge and said, go out and protect and serve. They are failing. And even if I was not an African-American, well, I am directly affected by all of this. That means if I was Asian, if I was Caucasian, or any other ethnic group, I would say, I personally would have an issue with it and say, this is not America. How can it be the greatest country in the world where you just kill our law enforcement? These are supposed to be the beacons of justice. And they are murdering citizens with impunity. And when they go to court, the courts don't see anything wrong with it. Absolutely nothing wrong with it. We have a long way to go. But let us go again, as I said earlier, let us remember there's a difference between opinions and facts. And the fact is, there are not, 99% of the cops are not good. 50-50, 50% that are good, and then there are 50 who are really bad. And boy, oh boy, are the bad cops having their day in the sun. I end tonight's show with this segment of We Can Be the Outcome. I was blessed yesterday to see my 17-year-old son graduate from high school. And with all the virtual graduations that went on and a lot of parents around the country felt cheated that they, you know, that because their children didn't have an actual graduation, I was blessed that my son did because he attended a very small private school, so the class was not big at all. And over the last couple of weeks, I penned a letter to him. It was a short letter that I sent to him on the day of his graduation, which was yesterday. And in thinking about everything that's been happening with young men and women of color being killed in the streets, it really enlightened me and motivated me to write this. So I want to share it with you tonight. I said, "Dear son, words cannot express how proud I am of you. From the moment I first laid eyes on you, I knew I had to become a better man. I began to understand that in order for you to grow up and become an honorable man, I would first have to be the example of what an honorable man represents. I'm very happy to have seen you from the very beginning, from rising at 6 a.m. each morning to get your day started, to late night diaper changes, episodes of teething, potty training, first steps, and first days of school. With you, son, there was never a dull moment. As you graduate from high school, you are ending one chapter of your life and starting the next chapter. As you'll head off to college, I say to you now, as I said when I first held you in my arms in 2002, you'll never have to walk through life alone. I'll always be there with you. My father is my hero. You're my hero. And I hope you see me as yours. Good night."